In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump's former attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen, returns to Capitol Hill on Wednesday for a fourth day of testimony in front of the House Intelligence Committee. The hearing will take place behind closed doors and is likely to focus on Russian interference and Trump's finances. Also possibly being raised is the issue of presidential pardons and whether Trump administration officials dangled a potential pardon to Cohen when he was first in the special counsel's crosshairs. Meanwhile, in New York, the state's Department of Financial Services has issued subpoenas for Trump's insurance brokers on Tuesday. The move was unrelated to other investigations and indicates that Trump's finances in New York are also under scrutiny. The Washington Post summarized that Tuesday was a case study in Trump's new reality of besiegement, as multiplying investigations by state authorities, federal investigators, and congressional Democrats began to dig into his business, charity, and presidency simultaneously. The rate of immigrants arriving at the U.S.-Mexico border has sharply increased in recent months, breaking previously set records. There are nearly twice as many people attempting to cross the border as there were a year ago. In February alone, there were 76,000 people who crossed the border without papers, a number that defied the harsh anti-immigrant policies being enforced under Trump. It is the highest such number in 11 years and indicates the increased insecurity facing Central Americans especially. At a press conference on Tuesday, Kevin K. McAleenan, Customs and Border Protection Commissioner, said this.
Unlike historical crossings, which are comprised of a large majority of single adult males from Mexico who could be repatriated quickly, families and children from Central America require increased care and processing and are released into the United States pending adjudication of their immigration claims. These solutions are temporary, and this situation is not sustainable.
That's Kevin McAleenan, Customs and Border Protection Commissioner, speaking to reporters on Tuesday. In other news, J.P. Morgan Chase has decided to back out of financing private prisons and detention centers. The big bank is one of several that had financed such notorious private prison companies as Geo Group and CoreCivic. Wells Fargo has also apparently pulled back from financing private prisons. Both banks had faced strong political pressure from grassroots activists demanding that they divest from the private prison industry. Late in his tenure, President Barack Obama had decided to phase out the industry altogether, but only 1 month after becoming president, Trump reversed that order. In a related story, the investigative media outlet Axios has determined that of all the nonprofit shelters that house undocumented children in the U.S., only three are linked to more than half of all recently revealed sexual abuse allegations. Facilities run by Southwest Key were the sites of 65 accusations of sexual abuse of undocumented children, while Baptist Child and Family Services had 23 accusations and International Educational Services had 14. These three organizations have received $2.5 billion of federal government contracts over the past 4 years. In Alabama, reproductive justice and women's rights advocates are up in arms over a judge's recent decision to give an aborted fetus the same rights as a person. A man named Ryan Magers of Madison County, Alabama, had learned that his girlfriend had had a medication-induced abortion at 6 weeks into her pregnancy. Magers, with the help of an anti-abortion organization, petitioned to become the personal representative of the aborted fetus. And on Tuesday, the county probate judge, Frank Barger, granted his petition in the first such move of its kind nationwide. The case is the first consequence of a state constitutional amendment passed last year recognizing the, quote, rights of unborn children. One women's rights advocate, Erin Mattson of the group Repro Action, tweeted in response to Tuesday's decision, "This is the logical consequence of all anti-abortion activity. Fetuses are treated like people, and women and people who can become pregnant are not." A major protest earlier this week in Sacramento against the police shooting of a black man named Stephon Clark resulted in 84 arrests. Authorities announced late last week that the officers who shot the unarmed Clark 20 times would not be charged. Among those arrested at the protest late Monday was Sacramento Bee journalist Dale Kaysler, who was later released. The protest took place outside a Trader Joe's in a wealthy neighborhood. The Sacramento Bee reported that the East Sacramento location was chosen because it is one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in the city of Sacramento and home to many influential leaders in city and state government. A day after the protest, on Tuesday, activists stormed a meeting at City Hall demanding action on Stephon Clark's killing and denouncing the harsh police response on Monday night.
Police officers, they sit there like this every time.
Leave him alone!
Every time!
Those are the sounds of a protest at City Hall in Sacramento, California, where police were not charged in the killing of an unarmed 22-year-old black man named Stephon Clark. An 18-year-old man from Ohio testified in front of Congress on Tuesday about his journey to getting vaccinated with a mother who believes vaccines cause autism. Ethan Lindenberger of Norwalk, Ohio, spoke to lawmakers at a hearing examining the recent outbreaks of the virulent measles virus in the states of Washington and Oregon. Once he turned 18, Lindenberger got himself vaccinated.
I approached my mother numerous times trying to explain that vaccines are safe and that my family should be vaccinated, approaching even with articles in the CDC explicitly claiming that ideas that vaccines cause autism and extremely dangerous consequences were incorrect. In one such instance where I approached my mother with information from the CDC that claimed vaccines do not cause autism, she responded with, "That's what they want you to think." Skepticism and worry were taking the forefront in terms of information.
That's Ethan Lindenberger speaking to Congress on Tuesday about misinformation on vaccines. Democrats have moved to reinstate net neutrality rules with plans to unveil new legislation on Wednesday. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced that her party would work to pass the Save the Internet Act. The Republican-controlled Senate had already passed the bill last May. A Republican-controlled Federal Communications Commission had voted 3-2 in December 2017 to repeal Obama-era net neutrality rules. And in international news, North Korea has found to be rebuilding its ability to launch satellites and its intercontinental ballistic missile program. The reports were based on U.S. and South Korean intelligence and, according to the New York Times, quote, could be a first sign that North Korea is preparing to end its moratorium on missile tests, which Mr. Trump has claimed is a major diplomatic achievement. And that does it for our headlines today.